am bound to thee. Once more. Lord, your beauty.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and remembereth that we are dust. As a man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word this morning. Just have a little prayer. We just thank you, dear Lord God, for just keeping us, dear Jesus. So many times we make mistakes, dear Lord God, but you lift us up and keep us going. Blessed be your wonderful name. We pray that you'll bless our brother Diggs as he brings a message this morning. Bless those that are still on the way, dear Lord God. Pray that they all get here safely just to hear the word that you have put in our brother's heart to bring to us this morning. We just thank you for all that you do, dear Lord, and all the gifts that you bring by this little place in Jesus Christ's name.
I lift
my King. In what you hear, let it be a sweet, sweet sound. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
Sounds good. Let's try it again.
Oh, I love you, Lord. Your praise.
to lift his name on high. Thank you, Jesus. My God. Thank you, Lord God. Maybe seated as we get ready for the offering, please.
But now I see my scars so clearly. Could have been avoided through your mercy. So here I stand, just as I am, humbly before your throne. I give it all to you, Lord. You
your hands,
devil was fighting me bad this morning about singing this song. And this song has been on my heart. So I'm going to sing it. I'm going to sing it. I'm going to sing it. Your darkness into light, take away your sadness, make it all right. God said he would supply your needs, just lift your hands, your blessings in reach. Loneliness, he'll fill that void and give you joy. If you believe, he'll give you the victory. And he will take your darkness, turn it to light. Take your sadness, make it all right. God said he would supply your needs. Just lift your hands, your blessings in reach. Loneliness, he'll fill that void and give you joy. If you give you the victory, he will take your darkness, turn it to light. He'll take your sadness, make it all right. God said he would supply your needs. Just lift your hands, your blessings in reach. He'll take a loneliness and fill that void and give you joy. If you believe, he'll give you the victory. Yes, he will take your darkness, turn it to light. Take your sadness, make it all right. God said he would supply your needs. Just lift your hands, your blessings in reach. Loneliness, he'll fill that void. And give you joy. If you believe, he'll give you the victory. So I gave it all to him, and he knew what to do. I laid down my sins. I haven't seen them since. I handed over my pride. From now on, he'll be my guide. One more chance, that's all I needed for him to do a work in me. And now I'm wholeheartedly following thee. God, I gave it all to you, and you knew what to do. I hand over my sins. I haven't seen them since. I hand over my pride. From now on, he'll be my guide. One more chance, that's all you need for him to do. Work in thee, one more chance, that's all you seek, and he will do a work in thee. One more chance, that's all I need for you to do a work in me, and I'll wholeheartedly follow thee.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Rachel. Wonderful song. Like that addition there, that was perfect. Amen. So many gifts we have here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ooh.
a friend of yours. Whoa. God Almighty, say God, Lord of glory, you have called me. God Almighty, Lord of glory, you have called me. Hey. Put those hands together. Put those hands together and worship Him this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my. My God. Turn around and tell somebody it's so good to see you this morning. God bless you. Amen. 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 Praise His holy name. Oh, my. Amen. Thank the Lord. We certainly appreciate all that God is doing. Amen. In our midst. How many have been enjoying this weekend's meetings? Amen. Brother West goes. My, just so much, I believe, is happening. You know, and I'm happy to just kind of see some things with my own eyes. I found out a long time ago that if you just let God do things, it'll get done the right way. Amen. It'll get done the right way if you just allow God to just handle it. And it's just been a real blessing just to see all the support and everyone that's come, and you know, people from all over have come together. Amen. This weekend, I believe some tremendous things are going to take place from here. And you know, one of the things that we are under expectation of. And I think Brother Whisper just did it perfect last night. He put places under expectation of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Receiving the Holy Ghost. And even if you did receive it, you can still have another refilling. Amen. And I'd be the first one to raise my hand. God, I need it. I need it daily. Daily, I need God. You know, I mean, it just the world just has a way of just pulling so much from us. And one or two situations, it's just gone. So, amen, you got to pull right back up into to the gas line again and get some more gas. Amen, I thank God. One long trip, that's it. You got to get some more gas. Amen, so that's just the way I feel. And I was really, really impressed by just the way the Lord has been connecting all the messages together. And until last night, we had a really good climax. And I believe God got more in store on today, amen, on tonight. So we're looking forward to what God has in store. And I just ask that everyone, amen, if you can, make it out to the service, Lord. You never know when the right word going to be spoke. Amen. That's going to bless your soul. You just never know. Never go into a meeting with a preconceived idea as to what's going to happen. Amen. You got to take the limits off of God. Amen. He's a good God. Amen. He knows just where to meet us. We got a couple prayer requests here that we want to acknowledge. Amen. And after we do that, our sister Burrs is going to come and sing us a song. Amen. This morning. And I did want to just thank God for all the saints. Amen. Sister Brown and her precious daughters from Georgia being in fellowship with us on today. Amen. We appreciate having them. Amen. You know, they're always special to me. Amen. My ministry is connected to Georgia. Amen. So I thank God for them, and specifically to Brother Brown. Amen. So I thank God for them. Also, these are saints, but they also my family too, from St. Augustine. Amen. My precious aunt. Amen. My cousins. Amen. I thank God for them, and I just appreciate all of them being in fellowship with us on today. And also we got Brother Diggs and his precious wife. Amen. Sister Diggs and his daughter and niece. Thank God for them being in fellowship with us today from South Carolina. So, amen. Let's read these prayer requests. I got a couple here that we just want to acknowledge. Sister Bethay, amen, is asking for God's grace and protection as a children. And I travel to North Carolina on this coming Tuesday. So we want to pray for Sister Bethay and the children. Also, Sister Michelle requested prayer for her daughters. They'll be traveling going to, is it New Jersey? Amen, New Jersey, leaving on tomorrow. Going to New Jersey, so she wants prayer for them. Now, she asked for something just a little different. She wanted y'all to be anointed. So I'm going to anoint the three daughters, amen, that God will just protect them as they go on their way. And also, I have a prayer request here from Sister Marvia. She says, please pray for my sister, Andrea, who wasn't feeling well in her body this week. Pray that God will give her strength, especially because she is watching my children for me. So we want to pray for Sister Marvia's sister there in Jamaica. And we have one other request also. Brother Robles, they have in his family, they have a little situation kind of coming up, and they just want God's favor in that. Amen. And we want to remember them. And if you would just think on them on Tuesday, something that they're facing there, just remember them in your prayers on Tuesday. Also, do not forget Sister Samantha's mother. She had to go back to the hospital last week. We gave the testimony how God brought her out of the hospital. Now the devil just fighting, amen, and pulled her back in. And, you know, even to the point where they said that her some of her organs were just not functioning the way that they should be. And we believe God. You know, we believe God. And, I mean, Lazarus' organs won't function either the right way. But God still raised Lazarus up. Amen. I'm sorry. I don't know nothing else to do but to believe God. That's just me. Amen. I don't care how many cases sound the same. And, you know, that's what Brother Israel was saying. If you find one place where God did it one time for somebody, if God did it one time for somebody, in like a court case, you go back and prove. They used evidence from previous court cases. Say, look, now y'all rule this way in the past. So if you rule that way in the past and the situation is just the same, you got to rule that way right now. See? And if you can do that with God, you heal this person. And I'm coming under the same conditions as they're coming. God, I'm expecting you to heal me because you have no respect of persons. Amen. That's the way you have to approach God. If you can just find one person that experienced it, amen. That's why I tell you, we had a wonderful time with that on yesterday, and I just appreciate the Lord. I really, really do. Even if I didn't find one, I believe I'd be the first one. Somebody got to be first, so why not me? But that ain't never happened before. I know, but it might as well happen with me. Glory to God. My God, my God. All right. Let's have the King daughters come at this time. And Sister Tracy, also, if you all want to be anointed, we'll gladly do that for you all too. Amen. praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we present to you these saints, Lord, that are leaving, Lord, going on various trips, and Lord, we've anointed them with oil. Ask that you would just be their protection, that you would, Lord, keep them while they're away. And Father, we realize the enemy, his job is to steal, kill, and destroy. And Lord, while they're away, Father, we just trust that you would be their guide, their director, their shield, their buckler. God, that you be all that they need while they're away from us. Father, we come against Satan right now in every scheme that he has, every plan that he has. We come against you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. God, keep them encouraged. Lord, surround them with your word. And Lord, God, we just trust, Father, that they, even the company that they'll be in, Lord, we respect the stand that they have. And Lord, continue to encourage that stand. Not try to pull it down or break it down in any way. Hallelujah. Satan, we come against you. We know your plans, and we come against you in Jesus' name. Lord, we just pray that you would give them something even today in service that will anchor them. Lord, that they'll drive a stake down. They'll know, Lord God, that no is no and yes is yes. God, that they'll stand on the word no matter what they come against, Father. Lord, we commit them now into your hands. And Lord, our precious sister Samaya, who's asked prayer, Father, for Lord, this little attack of the enemy, Lord, this abscess, Satan, we come against you. We command it to dissolve in the name of Jesus. You told us to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Your prophets say we didn't even have to pray. All we had to do is just lay hands. Just lay hands, because that's what the Bible says. God, we do it according to your word, expecting for the result to take place. Amen. Bless, Lord God, the trip. Bless Sister Bethay, Lord, and the family as they take their trip as well. And we ask, God, that you bring them all back safe and sound. Amen. Into our presence. In Jesus' name we pray. We also lift up Brother Robles and his family. You know the trial that they're facing this week. We ask that you minister to them, Lord, and that you just be God in that situation. Lord, just give them wisdom and, amen, and understanding. Help them to overcome. Lord, is our prayer. Sister Maria's sister who's not feeling well in her body, taking care of her children. Lord, we pray that you bless her right there in Jamaica, Lord. Whatever the condition is, we curse it now in the name of Jesus. And God, we thank you and give you praise for victory in her life. Lord, raising her up. You're the same God that raised Peter's mother-in-law up. You can raise her sister up, Father. We believe it, Father. We receive it with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Sister Burrs, if you would. Amen. Prepare to come at this time. Amen.
God bless you, saints. Y'all pray for me. I'm nervous. I really hadn't prepared to sing anything today. In shady green pastures, so rich and sweet, God leads his dear children alone, where the waters cool flow, bathe the weary ones' feet. God leads his dear children alone. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children alone. Sometimes times on the mount where the sun shines so bright. God leaves his dear children alone. Oh, with some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire. Oh, but all through the blood, some through great sorrow. Oh, but God gives a song in the nine seasons. Oh, and all the day long. Though sorrows befall us and Satan oppose, God leads his dear children alone. Through grace we will conquer and defeat all our foes. God leads his dear children alone. Away from the mire and away from the clay, God leads his dear children alone. Oh, away from the eternity's day, God leads his dear children alone. Do that part again. The enemy trying to steal the words, but every word is important today. Hallelujah. Though sorrow befall us and Satan oppose, God leads his dear children. And defeat all our foes. God leads his dear children alone. Away from the mire and away from the clay, God leads his dear children alone. Away up to glory, eternity stay. God leads his dear children alone. Believe the saints. Oh, with some through the water, some through the blood, some through the fire. Oh, but all through the blood, some through great sorrow. A song in the night season.
and all the day long. Oh, it's on through the water, so through the blood, stomp through the fire. Open on through the blood, stomp through great sorrow. Oh, but God gives a song. And all the day long, woe is through the blood, through the blood, we can come into his presence, through the blood, oh Jesus.
Hallelujah. We appreciate that, Sister Burrs. God richly, richly bless you. And that was requested by Sister Lewis. She wanted to hear Sister Burrs sing as a sister. And I think I know why. Amen. She sounded a lot like my grandma. From our family, you know, gifts passed down in families. And grandma was just one of them. And I didn't really get a chance to know who grandma's people were, like her parents and things like that, to see where the gift come from them. But we've seen this. We started with her and now just the whole family is just, you know, just God's just been good to us. And the one thing about it we don't like, I mean, we don't want to give it to the devil. We want to give it to God. Amen. Y'all bear with us in our folly sometimes. Amen. But we just love to serve the Lord with everything we have. And actually, the church that I was raised up in, they called us a couple months ago and said, you know, we got this little program that we want y'all to come and sing on. You know, y'all come sing. And it's not too many places that I go and do stuff for, but I don't mind going back home. Amen. Because I always got to remember where I come from. Man, I go right back to the Baptist church that I was raised in. That's where I learned about Jesus. Amen. And they taught us the 23rd Psalm. And amen, the Lord's Prayer. And, you know, amen. That's where we learned it, right there. So, you know, I remember those days. And, you know, they called us up and this weekend and said, you know, could y'all come? We got a 4 o'clock program. And our kids didn't really know too much about 4 o'clock program. They heard a comedian talking about 4 o'clock programs. Amen. Y'all ain't been to none of them in a long time. Y'all don't know nothing about that. But after the 4 o'clock program, we're going to have some cake and we're going to have some punch. Refreshments will be. And if you put that on your program, well, folk was going to be there. Why? That was Sunday dessert, and it was free. Y'all don't know nothing about that. I know y'all don't know nothing about that. But Lord, we thank God, and we're actually this afternoon we're going to be going over. They're going to be doing an appreciation for the musician, and you know some. You know, I hate to say that like that. I hate to say it like this, but it's amazing how we got so much. But we fail to appreciate what we have. And some people ain't got nothing, but they still express appreciation for the little that they do have. And amen. And we got to get better at these things. We got to get better at them. Since I'm on there, musicians, I appreciate y'all. Every last one of y'all, I thank God for you. Thank God for your sacrifice. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. And the song leaders, Brother Wisdom, we appreciate you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. It ain't always easy to get up in front of folk, because you get up here and make one mistake, they be talking about you. I know about it. I've been there. I told y'all, my first congregation was a pretty rough congregation. I'd be up there preaching, they just give it right back to me, just sitting there and nodding and laughing and everything else. And now when I get home, boy, they just give it all to me. You did this. You said that. Oh, I can't believe. Oh, don't ever do that again. Boy, I tell you, that's a rough congregation. But I thank God for them. I appreciate them. We thank God. Amen. We're not going to take too much time. Sister Tracy, we want to wish you a happy birthday on yesterday. Amen. God bless you. The Lord allow you to see one more year on this earth. Thank God for that. Amen. Thank God for that. Friday. I'm sorry. It's in July, though. I know that. I got that right. I'm in July too, so praise the Lord. Thank God. You all keep Brother Caleb in prayer. He actually, it's what happens on weekends like this is typically there's a bunch of preachers that come into meetings like this, and so when you see that as a minister, you just go to grabbing whatever you can. You come, you bless my church, you know. And that's what we did today. I text Brother Diggs and say, now what's your plans? What you got going on? I ain't got but one service. Oh, that's Saturday, right? So that means you available on Sunday. Let me just call and get permission, brother. I think we're going to try to make some arrangements for Sunday. So we made arrangements, and he's here this morning. Brother Caleb was sitting there yesterday just kind of doing what he do. Y'all know Brother Caleb. You know, ain't but one Brother Caleb. We pulled up into the parking lot, and somebody in there doing song. That's Caleb. That's Caleb. Caleb got the place lit up all around. All I say, praise God. That's Brother Caleb for you, you know. But we appreciate it. But he got pulled out to Okeechobee this morning. Brother Smiley said, we need him. We need him in Okeechobee. I say, well, praise the Lord, he's there, you know. So you all keep him in prayer that God will use him. Amen. As he ministers there to the church in Okeechobee. Amen. This morning, let's stand to our feet. Amen. And let's find something. What's one of Brother Diggs' favorite songs? Oh, that one. Okay, all right. That's yeah, I like that too. Amen. We want to welcome our Brother Diggs to the pulpit this morning. And I tell you what, if you have never heard him, amen, you'll be blessed this morning to hear him. He's always blessed our hearts every time he's come here to be in fellowship. We thank God for his ministry. Amen. Thank God for his wife and his family. So much the Lord has done for him, and so much he can share. Amen. We just appreciate him. Let's just lift our hands, close our eyes, and welcome, amen, our precious brother to the pulpit this morning. Holy Spirit, reign on us. Everybody say, Holy Spirit, reign on us. Oh, Holy Spirit, reign on us. Well, fill us with your power, saturate us with your love. Holy Spirit, let it rain. Oh, everybody say, Holy Spirit, reign. Fill us with your power. Holy Spirit, reign.
power. Saturate us, Lord. Holy Spirit, thank you, Lord.
Amen. I'm really glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. We thank God for His mercy, His grace. Amen. I enjoyed the worship service. I just want to go straight into the Word. Amen. I don't want to prolong the time. Amen. God's been so good. Hallelujah. I really thoroughly enjoyed myself this weekend. Amen. Just being around the saints and enjoying the worship. Amen. You know, when we think about the message of the hour, it's come to set us free. Amen. It didn't come to bind us to a certain creed or a certain law or do or don't, but it allows God to be expressed in the believer's heart. Amen. So we thank God for the opportunity to be before you. We certainly appreciate Brother Jack. Amen. A wonderful friend, a wonderful man of God. Amen. You know, you can tell someone's testimony when you go around and you ask somebody, do they know a certain person? And the way that person you're asking responds tells a lot about that person's reputation or that person's character. Amen. You know, when I talk about Jack, and everybody smile and they say, man, I certainly love that. That brother's a worshiper. You know, amen. You know, and some people say, he's a preacher. You know, so thank God for your pastor. Amen. Amen. And a good spirit. Amen. Thank God for a good spirit. I thank the Lord for all of you coming out. Let's just have a word of prayer, and we'll go into the Word this morning. Lord God, Father, we deem it a privilege to be here, Lord, and Father, to be standing behind the sacred desk. And Lord God, we just ask, Father, that you, the Holy Spirit, would take us out of our comfort zones. And Lord God, put expectation there, Father. Lord, to hear from you, to receive from you, Lord, to go higher in the gospel, Lord Jesus, to give you more of our Christian life, Lord, as believers, Lord. Lord, don't let the service just be another Sunday morning where we gather, Lord, and we have church, but we're not refreshed. Lord, let us be refreshed by the Spirit this morning, Lord, to we can let go and let God have His way. Lord God, we ask, Father, that there's anyone that don't know you today, Lord, that you would reveal yourself unto us, Lord Jesus. Reveal yourself unto them, Lord. And Father, give us an invisible union in the Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, Lord, we pray that you bless this church, Lord, and the different ministries within, Lord, the pastor and his family, Lord, and all the different ones affiliated. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. The church say amen. Amen. If you have your Bible, let's go to Matthew, the 17th chapter. Amen. Matthew 17. Hallelujah. If you have it, say amen. We're going to start reading at verse 3. Now, we know this is Mount Transfiguration. In the place where we say Christ was adopted. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 3. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with them. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased to hear. In whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And when the disciple heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Hallelujah. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribe that Elijah must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not. But they have done unto him whatsoever they list. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. May the Lord have the blessing of reading of his word. You can have your seats. Amen. And as you sit, let's go read Revelation 10. We just want to read a familiar verse out of here. Verse 7, Revelation 10 and 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Amen. Thank God. Amen. I know we've all heard these verses a lot. Amen. But I want to challenge your faith this morning. I want you to examine where you are when it comes to the revelation of God's word. Now, this morning, my topic is Elijah has come already. Amen. Are you with me, church? Elijah has come already. What does that mean to say that Elijah has come already? Now, first, you have to understand what Elijah is and who Elijah is and why does he come. Amen. Now, there are five comings of Elijah. Amen. The first coming was in Elijah himself. Amen. The word talks about Elijah just came on the scene. Amen. Nobody knew his birthplace. Nobody knew where he came from. But he came with a word to restore. Amen. He came with a word to challenge sin. He came with a word to bring the believers back to the kingdom of God. To bring the word back in the church. That was one purpose why Elijah came. And he came with such an authority. Hallelujah. That God vindicated his life. Hallelujah. But then that same spirit moved through Elisha. Hallelujah. And Elijah came with the same power, the same anointing, the successor to the ministry of Elijah. Hallelujah. It wasn't another spirit. It was the same spirit that God gave in Elijah. It was that spirit moving forward. Now Elijah had came in Elijah. Now Elijah's coming again in Elisha. Hallelujah. But it didn't stop there. The same spirit kept moving. Then it moved down on John the Baptist. Hallelujah. It moved down on John the Baptist. Now we go in someplace. Now the spirit of Elijah has come on John the Baptist. Why? To turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children. Because that's what the scripture says in Malachi 4. Let's read. Well, I challenge you to go back and read. Because I want to keep going where I'm going. Now it says in Malachi 4, before the great and dreadful day, hallelujah, of the Lord, I will send you Elijah the prophet. Right. So before Elijah came, John the Baptist had to come. Right. And he had to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, hallelujah, or turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Right. The hearts had to be turned. That's why Elijah came. Yeah. Elijah came so that the fathers could recognize their children needed help. Y'all kind of dead this morning. Do y'all understand what I'm preaching? We're not living the message. We're supposed to be the message. We're supposed to be joy. We're supposed to be temperance, patience, all the things that God has restored. Elijah came to restore. Elijah came to bring us out of tradition. Take us out of church services. Take us out of great preachers. But he came to bring us back to God. Bring us back to the anointing. Bring us back to truth. That's why Elijah has come. And I'll say it again. Elijah has come already. And if you understand that Elijah has come already, you can't be dead in your seat. You can't sit down on God. Because Elijah came to restore. bring a restoration. What does that mean? To bring us back to our original condition. What does it mean to bring us back to our original condition where we had no more pain in our body? Adam didn't have no pain in his body. Adam didn't have no diabetes. He didn't have no heartache. He didn't have no mind battles. Well, hallelujah. Adam was pure. Adam was in the garbage, the image of God. And Elijah came to restore that back to the church. Hallelujah. Oh, my church. Now he's moving in John. And John comes preaching a word. Repent or perish. Woo! Repent or perish. Get your life right. Because the Messiah is coming. Woo! Hallelujah. There's a lot of people in church thinking they don't need that part of Elijah's ministry. Thinking they can go where they want to go. Say what they want to say. And the word will never come right down on their doorsteps. They get mad when they want to get mad. But remember the scripture says, get angry but sin not. It becomes sin when you stay in that anger too long. And I challenge you, what's really going on when you get angry? What's really going on when you get mad? Hallelujah. Is it a devil or is it God? What's going on when you get mad? Think about the last time you got mad. How did you react? Elijah came to restore. Hallelujah. Well, we had power to make this body obey my confession. Hallelujah. Think about it, church. Hallelujah. Sometimes God makes us angry so that he could come out. God will make you angry to take you to another level. Hallelujah. But what we do, we settle for something in the flesh. No, Elijah is spirit. My subtitle is The Mystery of God. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a lot of people saying that God is here, God is there, but it's a mystery that's been revealed. Hallelujah. God has been revealed in this day, church. And what I realize is you got to understand what God is doing. Hallelujah. Think about it, church. What happened with the move of the Reformation? Amen. When the saints came out and they said that the just shall live by faith. How did that happen, Brother Jack? That move began to happen because Luther got angry with the Catholic Church. He got tired of what they was doing. He got tired of communion with the dead and paying for sins and all these other things. And say that the coffin and the bread and all this stuff was the blood and body of Jesus. Luther, something began to rise up in him to say that that's not true. He began to get angry. Hallelujah. And when he got angry, he formed up that 96 theses and he went to the Catholic door and said, ah! And once he got mad, oh, hallelujah, a flock of believers came up behind him with the same anger. The same anger which was a move of God. Saying that the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. I'm not living by my works. I'm not living by my reputation or how good I can be. But I'm living by faith. And the just shall live by faith. And he got angry. Hallelujah. What do you do when you get angry? Hallelujah. God took the church to a whole nother level because one man got upset. Exactly right. But it didn't stop there. Hallelujah. Luther had a whole church. They were moving and God praising God and everything was going forward. But there was somebody got angry with Luther. There was somebody got angry with Luther because Luther was living by faith, but he was still smoking a pipe. He was still drinking a little casual drink. And somebody got angry with that kind of walking church. A man named Wesley. John Wesley said, I will not smoke. I will not drink. I'll clean myself up. Hallelujah. I'll have a sanctified life. John Wesley got angry. When he got angry, hallelujah, there were some more people behind him that shared the same anger. Woo! Share the same anger. Say you're supposed to live right. You're supposed to be holy. You're supposed to be washed by the waters of the word. Oh my. Oh my. But you know what we'll do? We'll see things going on in church. Say, I don't want nothing to do with them. They serpent seed. Notice. Wesley never took away his anger, hallelujah, never stopped him from believing Luther's message. Woo! We'll say somebody in the church, hallelujah, living for God, they make one mistake and you say they're a devil. Oh my, that did not change his testimony. That did not change that God used him, hallelujah, to bring out a reformation of faith, hallelujah. But now Wesley's angry with what he see going on in Luther's church. You know what's going on? God is telling him that has to be more. Amen. I wonder if God telling anybody some morning that there has to be more to my Christian life. There has to be more to my church. There has to be more to me than just saying I'm in the message. I can quote unquote. I can go here. I can go there. There has to be something more. I'm challenging you to get angry with your Christian walk. Get angry with what you're producing, because Elijah has come already and he's going to reveal the mystery of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Think about it, church. He couldn't deny that God used Luther. He couldn't deny it because it was such a strong move of faith. Woo! Under the ox anointing. People giving their lives, hallelujah, for truth. Hallelujah. Burden bearers, hallelujah. Women losing their babies, hallelujah. People getting burned to the stake, hallelujah. Why? They had faith. They had faith. It wasn't anointing. You say, well, Brother Diggs, I just can't do it. You, of course you can't. Because that anointing is not on you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Just to give your life like that. Hallelujah. To be martyred. Hallelujah. See, Wesley couldn't deny what was going on in that church. Hallelujah. But there was something inside of him saying, Elijah came for more than us. It's more than this. Hallelujah. So now he began to move on. But the church, it didn't stop right there, church. Hallelujah. Somebody got mad at what they saw in Wesley's life. Hallelujah. Seymour, his church, the Pentecostal people came on the scene and they got upset with a cold, starchy, dead church. They got upset with a bunch of intellectual people sitting down saying, I'm in the message. Hallelujah. Seymour said, no, it got to be more than that. It got to be dynamics. It got to be mechanics too. There has to be an adoption to move into. There has to be something where God can speak through us and let us know we're going down the right road. We don't have to be guessing if we're in the right church. God can spew somebody and speak to them and confirm that we're in the right place. God can confirm to you that you're in the right place. Woo! Some of y'all still kind of dry, but we're coming down your avenue. We're coming down. I want you to shake yourself. Hallelujah. When was the last time, hallelujah, your whistle blowed in church? Some of you got all the elements. You the train, you got the caboose, but you ain't got no combustion inside the department that burns. You need to throw some coal in there. Hallelujah. You know, if coal sit long enough, it'll turn into a pearl. Hallelujah. That's after it's been used. Hallelujah. But for there, they take that coal, Anthony. They get a big old shovel. No, they don't use no spoon to get that train moving. You got to have a whole bunch of it. Sister Brown, you got to have a big old shovel, a snow shovel. Any of y'all ain't never been in no blizzard, hallelujah. But I've been in Canada when the snow been coming down. It been coming down so hard till you couldn't even see in front of you. And I looked around and said, y'all, shoot, we supposed to go to church today. They say, why, Brother Deeds? What's going on? I say, y'all see all the snow falling? They say, oh, ain't nothing to it. Long as it's not falling this direction. I'm like, what? I can't see in front of me. They say, oh, we driving this all the time. It wasn't a problem to them. Hallelujah. But look, church, there was somebody watching what happened in Wesley's church, and he got angry. He got angry. He said, Lord, there has to be more. There has to be more than me just saying I can live clean. I can dress right. I can wear my long skirts. I don't cut my hair. I pay my tithe. There has to be something more than that. I don't wear short pants. I ain't got no dreadlocks. I ain't that. There has to be something more. And Seymour's church was crying out for more. They say, Lord, we need to hear you speak to us. Somebody got tired of sitting in church and not able to discern whether the minister was real or not. But in Seymour's church, hallelujah, a backsliding preacher couldn't preach. Because somebody got angry enough to say, Lord, I want truth. And if his life ain't right, let something come forth to let it know. If his life ain't right, let something come forth to let the whole church know that he ain't right. And somebody begin to speak in tongues or begin to prophesy. The gifts of the Spirit begin to flow in the church. And Brother Branham said that was their Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And he got angry. He got angry. But notice, he never took away from what Wesley had. He never took away from what was established in Luther's day. Now you see the acceleration of this anger. You see what this anger was doing. Hallelujah. He made one church mad. The next church got even madder. And the church after that got mad too. But there was somebody else watching all these churches and got even more angry. Hallelujah. Now, amen. Elijah. Now this messenger of Malachi 4 in Revelation 10:7 is going to do two things. One, hallelujah, will reveal, hallelujah. One, according to Malachi 4, he will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. Elijah got so angry about what he saw going on in the Pentecostal church with just the gifts only. He said, there has to be more than this. What does the gifts make room for? The Holy Ghost himself. Hallelujah. So Elijah's ministry was built to turn our hearts back to the Holy Ghost. Not just to faith, not just to a clean life, not just to gifts, but that the Holy Ghost may live in you. Oh, y'all gonna wake up eventually. You mean to tell me after all God has done for you, you can sit in your seat this morning? Y'all must be don't know what it's like to be a rank, nasty sinner. You must be don't know what it's like to have the law of sin dwelling in your body. When you want to do good, you can't do it because evil is present. You say, I'm going to get up and pray, but there's a law of sin, and you say, no, you will not today. Woo. You say, well, I know the quotes. The law of sin overpower the quotes. That's for you religious people. You say, well, I'm going to church. The law of sin got some of these seats empty in here. They got up with intentions to go. Some of them probably ironed their clothes. They probably fixed the children's hair last night. But because of the law of sin, they're sitting at home watching a TV ministry. But I know y'all don't know nothing about that. When y'all was born just like Adam. But when I was born, I didn't have to be taught to lie. I didn't have to be taught to cheat or steal. It was already a law inside of me that was going to automatically do those things. You say, well, Brother Deeks, my life is this, my life is that. It's because of the law of sin. You say, well, I'm a good person. You a liar. Hallelujah. If you don't catch Elijah's, the reason why Elijah came and become a part of that, the Holy Ghost ain't in you. Notice, I ain't talking about Elijah. I'm talking about his message. the purpose of his coming. Elijah has come already, church. Hallelujah. But you know what I'm finding out? We too good to realize that he's come. And the reason why he's come, he came. The reason why God sent Elijah, because the people's heart were turned away from the word. The people's hearts were turned away from what the truth was. And you know what, Brother Jack? People come to church with issues in their family, mad at their husband, and sit there like everything all right. Well, you need to be saying, Lord, help me. Lord, give me strength. You need to get angry this morning. Say, Lord, I'm tired of being unequally yoked. I'm tired of, hallelujah, not having full dominion of God in my house. I'm tired of being defeated. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I want you to do something. Lord, fix the situation. I'm tired of being defeated. Somebody need to get angry. Don't get mad at the church. Get mad at that law of sin in your body. Get mad at that devil. But what we'll do, we'll come in and put on a good show. Old Pharisee. Pharisee means actor. You come in here and smile like it ain't nothing going on. And hallelujah, you get home, you might get slapped. Oh, I ain't told y'all I was a bloodhound. Where your unhappiness can be sniffed out in the service. You ain't fooling God. God know you tired of it. He just want you to be, do something about it. Do something about it this morning. Elijah has come to bring a restoration. Give you your house back. Give you your children back. Give you your husband back. Give you your healing back. Give you your mind back. That's why Elijah has come. He ain't come to make us proud, revelated people. He came to restore a life. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, you can be a testimony. Hallelujah. Well, you can be a person to say, I got Jesus. Hey, I got Jesus. Anybody got Jesus? Y'all don't hear me. He's a lawyer in the courtroom. Anybody got Jesus? Anybody got Jesus? Anybody got Jesus? Anybody got Jesus? Do you got Jesus? Do you got Jesus? Y'all don't hear me. Anybody got Jesus? See, that right there was against tradition. And some of y'all couldn't get in it because you thought, oh, he preaching the word. Why we? You need to have a praise break every now and then. Hallelujah. We too starchy, so cold. Sometimes you need to just stop the preaching and say, Lord, I want to worship right now. There's no one like Jehovah. Lord, I want to give you praise because you've been so good to me. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you how powerful it is when your heart is turned back. When your heart is turned back, hallelujah, the Holy Ghost defeats the law of sin in your body. Let me say it like this. Me and my wife are no better than none of y'all. Hallelujah. And temptations can come. Hallelujah. I know that there's men, it's hard to believe, that there's men out there that look better than me to my wife. Y'all may not understand that, but that's hard to believe. Got more to offer. More money than Brother D's. A better car than Brother D's. Better hair than Brother D's. Can dress. Woo! Hallelujah. Hey! Hallelujah. Can't do everything. Now, I ain't going to sell myself short. I'm a son of God. Born again. Hallelujah. Heart's been turned back. I got favor. Hallelujah. But let me tell you young people something. Let me tell you married couples something. One thing you got to realize is that Satan got somebody out there who got more than what your spouse got. And his job is to present that to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Especially in the times when you get angry. You know what? That's when fornication is committed. That's when adultery is committed. When a husband gets mad at his wife. Then some old Jezebel come up in his face and say, "Hey, big boy. I like that old shiny bald head." Woo! And if you haven't realized that Elijah's come, and your heart isn't turned back to the faith of the apostolic fathers where the Holy Ghost lives in you, the law of sin will say, "Yeah, you think so?" And then it begin to move in your mind and say, "My wife ain't told me that. My husband don't tell me he loved me." You have some old slicker come by and say, "Hey girl, you look, ooh, you smell good." Then the devil will say, "Your husband ain't never told you that. When was the last time he told you that?" See, in the times when you get angry, hallelujah, that's when Satan is trying to strip you. And even in the times when you get angry, God is trying to show you how powerful the Holy Ghost is, how powerful the life of Christ is. Hallelujah! Oh my. Children, you can't let your anger get the best of you. You say, "Mom and Dad are trying to keep me from this. They're trying to keep me from that. I can't do this. I can't go to the movies. I can't Facebook." And you get angry. If the Holy Ghost is not in there, that anger will drive you further away from truth. But if the Holy Ghost is there, it'll say, "It's only for my good." Hallelujah. And see, some of y'all getting mad now because I'm preaching on you being angry. Amen. The devil always try everybody with that. But I want you to see today that Elijah has come already. And the mystery of God is being unveiled. Hallelujah. Let me get into this because I ain't going to be too much longer. If y'all ain't realize, I ain't got no punchlines. I ain't one of them people who can lay out a platform or, you know, they preach for 30 minutes and say, "It's just a foundation." That ain't me. I can't do that. I just come out and start preaching. And if you pull God to talk to you, if you say, "Lord, help me, I got to need God to talk to you." Hallelujah. If you need a quote, God will give you the quote. If you need a word, God will give you the word. Hallelujah. Whatever you need, God got it. You need healing, God got it. Elijah came to restore your body. Hallelujah. Two things. It never said that he'll come. This is Elijah talking now. Elijah said he'll do two things. He'll turn the hearts back and he'll unveil the mysteries of the seventh seal. That never said, he never said anything about getting in a plane and riding around the world. He never even said anything about a return ministry. But he said he's going to do two things. And then he came back again. He said, "When you take me out of this, you make me Antichrist." Amen. Notice the scripture in Matthew 17. He said, "Lord, why do the scribes say that Elijah must first come?" The scribe, the denominations, they realize that Christ is coming soon. They realize that all the turmoil in the earth means that something is about to take place. They see what's going on in Japan, in New Zealand, hallelujah, all these different things going on. They look at how the world is. We got homosexuality, lesbianism in the church. Let me tell you, you single people, keep yourself. Keep yourself. And when you try and get rejected, that don't mean you gay. When you try and get rejected, sisters, that don't mean you a lesbian. That just means that that wasn't the one God had for you.
But if the Holy Ghost is not there, the devil will come and sow something to that law of sin in your body. Hallelujah. That's why you got to realize where you are and what you're standing on. Now, church, I want you to catch it. Oh, my. He says, look at here now. I'm talking about how powerful it is for to realize that Elijah has come already. He says, and I may go on record just now saying that I believe that the right mental attitude toward any divine promise will bring it to pass. Sister Lewis, your attitude, hallelujah, can get you up out of your seat this morning and do a jog around this church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you say, God, I trust you, I believe you, and in your word, you say, only believe. All things are possible. How many believe that? All things are possible. Tell me anything that the Lord can't do. If the Lord can't do it, I want you to leave this church right now. Get up out your seat. If your problem, your trial is too hard, I want you to get up out your seat and leave. Because we don't need your unbelief in here. I believe he can save children that's went to the world. I believe he can save unsaved husbands, unsaved wives. He can heal cancer. He can heal diabetes. He can heal thyroid problems. God can do it. All things are possible. And if you don't believe me, let me show you the door. If you don't believe me, follow me this way. If you don't believe me, leave right now. And notice, I ain't going with you. I'm just make sure you get all the way out. If you don't believe me, God can give you the Holy Ghost right now in this service this morning. I want you to leave the church. Now that I got all y'all here, let me say it like this. For the rest of the service, if your attitude does not reflect your beliefs, you're a hypocrite. If your attitude does not believe that your problem can be resolved today, your problem can be resolved this morning, you are a hypocrite to stay here when I said get out the church if you don't believe. I say it again. Get out the church if you don't believe. Get out of here if you don't believe God can't solve your problem. How many believe? Y'all afraid to raise your hand? How many believe that all things are possible? How many believe, hallelujah, that God can come in your family and make things right? Hallelujah. How many believe that the Bible says that the saved husband, hallelujah, is enough grace, hallelujah, for the unsaved wife? And the saved wife is enough grace for the unsaved husband. If you don't believe that, I want you to get out of my presence right now. Get out of here. You ain't got no right standing in the midst of God's bride if you don't believe all things are possible. Get out of here. Because I believe in a supernatural God. I believe that Elijah has come already. He said he'll do two things. Turn the hearts of the children back to the faith. The faith. Hallelujah. What kind of faith? This kind of faith. He says, I believe that the right mental attitude toward any divine promise will bring it to pass. If you can take the right attitude toward that promise, by his stripes, I am. Do anybody know that scripture? Huh? Does anybody know that scripture? What does the end of it say? What does it say? Somebody say it for me again. Somebody tell me what it says.
Healed.
What y'all hear?
It says healed.
Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. It says healed. Come on now. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a real gospel. I'm talking about a real ministry. I'm talking about Elijah has come already and the mystery of God has been unveiled. You got to realize that we are believers. And God does nothing by chance. But God wants us to realize that we are the mystery of God. We are the unveiling of the Word. How can I be sick when Elijah has come already to restore everything? Some of y'all are looking like he made her do that. No, I didn't. He made her walk. She didn't want to walk. It was already in her heart. God just wanted me to preach on it. It was already there. God just wanted me to come and touch and agree with her faith. God wanted me to touch and agree with her faith. Why? So she can rise up. Rise up and take God at his word. Somebody need to take God at his word this morning. Elijah has come already. Hallelujah. He says, hallelujah, for that promise. See, what Sister Lewis just did, she demonstrated the promise. That promise is a seed. You know what she did? When she got up, she unveiled the promise. And she began to walk in the promised word of the unveiling of the mystery of God and his people, saying that, let the weak say that I am strong. Hallelujah. Some of y'all say, well, that was just Sister Lewis. What about your problem? What about what's wrong with you? What about what's got you sitting in your seat? Why you can't walk around and possess your promise? Why you can't possess your inheritance? Hallelujah. Let God take you higher. Let God take you higher. That's the reason why you're here. Because God is changing your life. Hallelujah. God is bringing forth a change by a restoration. Hallelujah. He said, for that promise is a seed. A seed goes into the ground, and if it's germatized, hallelujah. If it's germatized, hallelujah. If it's something real, hallelujah. Hallelujah. My shouting, my dancing, hallelujah. It's only an asset to it busting out. That's what's wrong with people. They don't understand what true praise is. They don't understand what true worship is. There's a difference between worship and praise. Hallelujah. Worship you can do in your seat. You can be quiet. You can cry. Hallelujah. You can wave your hand. You can say hallelujah. Worship, hallelujah, does not have any boundaries. Worship can do it according to how God deals with you. Hallelujah. But praise? But praise? But praise? Praise is an outward expression of adoration. Praise is an outward expression of God's goodness. Praise is an outward expression of giving God thanks. Hallelujah. For saving your soul. For changing your heart. Hallelujah. For giving you a new birth. For giving you a Holy Spirit. That's what praise is. Hallelujah. That's why he said, hallelujah. The rocks will cry out. We don't give God no praise in this place. But what we try to do. We try to say, well, Brother D, that's against my nature. You need to get your nature changed. You need a nature change if you can't praise God. You need a nature change if you can't praise God. The ark wasn't even in the house of God yet, but David saw it coming and Dave said, woo, 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 woo. David saw it coming down the road. Hallelujah. It maybe was on 95 and then it made the turn on Happy Hill. And David saw it coming. Hallelujah. They saw it in the parking lot. And they began to say, oh. Oh. They knew he was coming. They said, oh. Why I had to sing that song for y'all, praise God. It ought to already be in you. The prophet of God said, you remember the day when he just preached the word and people got up walking the floor shouting, praising the Lord. because of the word. Because of the word was preached. Hallelujah. Because they could identify themselves in the word. Church, don't lose your identity. Oh my God, to come down. Hallelujah. I'm condescending right now. I'm condescending. I got to come down real easy. Because you can't bring a 747 straight down without somebody getting affected. You have to bring it down real slow. Drop altitudes. Why? Because you got to realize that you're in good hands. You got to realize that the pilot got everything under control. Hallelujah. If he's driving straight down, everybody going to panic. Somebody say, what about me, Brother Deez? What about me? What about my situation? I told you, I want you to get angry this morning. I want you to get angry. Just as, like, I'll recap. Just as Luther got angry with the Catholic Church. He saw all the things they were doing. Hallelujah. Paying for sins. Hallelujah. Communion with the dead. All this. Can you imagine going to church and the preacher preaching in a language you can't understand? Would that make you angry? That's what people are doing with this message. They're preaching a language that people can't understand. That ought to make you angry. Preaching in Latin. Luther said, that's enough of this foolishness. I'm sick of it. Took that thesis, put it together and say, I'm going free. I'm going free. And like Luther's church, all the believers behind him, they rose up like eagles. Hallelujah. They rose up and they got out of that Catholic dogma. Same with Wesley getting angry with Luther. Same with Seymour getting angry with Wesley. And I'll finish with this. Brother Branham got angry with the Pentecostal church. That's why he was inspired to preach a message. Why are we not a denomination? That's why he was inspired to preach a message where I think Pentecost failed. Hallelujah. Amen. Remember, he never preached a message showing, a full message showing how great Pentecost was. He had excerpts of it through the message showing how great it was, but he never took a text to exalt it. Because his anger realized they got off. Hallelujah. They got off the path. But his anger said, all right, the gifts brought the Holy Ghost to the church, but there has to be more. And what did his anger do? His anger made him say that the Holy Ghost makes room for the Holy Ghost himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh my. I ain't going to get through this. But church, what I want you to realize is when John, hallelujah, who was the spirit of Elijah, after his message went forth, what happened next? The word made flesh came on the scene. In Jesus Christ. After the hearts of the fathers were turned to the children, Jesus came on the scene. The word made flesh. Now, that was a twofold scripture of Elijah's, the hearts being turned. Now, Elijah comes again to turn the hearts of the children to the faith of the fathers. Now, let me ask you a question. When your heart is turned to the faith of the fathers, what happens next? The word should be made flesh. You know what? The church should have erupted just now. But the problem is the church don't believe that they're the fullness of the word. I'm talking about as a body. We don't believe that the restoration has come. Notice, after John's message, what did we see? We see through Jesus that all things were possible. We saw through Jesus, demons trembled. Hallelujah. We saw through Jesus, when he walked in the room, in another realm, the spirits knew who he was. Why? Because Elijah has come already. Hallelujah. So shouldn't that same thing happen in our church? If God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Elijah has come to bring a full restoration. Hallelujah. Amen. The message comes to reveal who we are. But you have to step into that by faith. Brother Branham can't do that for you. Your belt buckle can't do it. Your hat can't do it. Your bullet, hallelujah, that they imitate, can't do it. Put that bullet in the gun. I bet you can't kill a bear. Woo! Because it's a relic. It ain't the real thing. Hallelujah. But after Elijah came, always after the spirit of Elijah, the truth of the word comes in flesh. To follow that message. Not only to follow, but to make it live. That's why he said, in the days of the voice, the mystery of God shall be finished. What is the mystery of God? You looking at it. You looking at it. My old buddies thought I was a dope dealer. They thought I was a street runner. But no, I was the mystery of God. They thought I was one of their party buddies. They thought I was a drinking buddy. But no, I was the voice of God made manifest. They thought that, hallelujah, I was just somebody that was supposed to go to the club with them or do this or do that. But God said, no, he's the unveiling of the word. Hallelujah. That's who you are. You are the mystery of God. And the mystery of God should be finished after Elijah's message. Ain't nobody else coming to tell you who you are. The word of the hour already tells us that. The word of the hour already tells us who we are. You know what I am? I am the token. You know who I am? I am the spoken word is the original seed. You know who I am? Hallelujah. I am the contest. I am God's provided place of worship. You know who I am? I am the mighty conqueror. You know who I am? I am the mighty God unveiled. You know who I am? I am the absolute. But this is the part that stumbles everybody. You know who I am? You know who we are? We are the seventh seal. That's right. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We are the seventh seal. Hallelujah. People say it's closed. If it's closed, that means I don't know who I am. Hallelujah. Because the seventh seal deals with Christ, his coming, and his relationship with his bride. I'm not a Jew, that's the sixth seal. I'm not the souls under the altar, that's the fifth seal. I'm not the first four, that's the Antichrist. So where am I in those seals? Where am I, church? Where are you in those seals? You must be the seventh seal. Woo! Come on, somebody. Look, he says the seventh. And the last one of these seals, when they're open, is found in Revelation 10:7. There was a mighty angel, which was Christ, came down, put one foot on the land, one foot on the sea, and raised up his hands and said, the day is finished. Time is run out. Time shall be no more. And he said, at the sounding of that, at that mystery of God should be finished. Who is? Hallelujah. Who God is. What is the mystery? Who God is. Want me to tell you who he is? Christ in me, the hope of glory.
Amen.
That's who he is, church. The word made flesh. I'm about to close. Don't get nervous. He says, and how he was made manifest. Who God is. And how he was made manifest. That's why it's important for you not to let the preacher give you revelation.
That's right.
I can't give you revelation. You got to lay on your face before God and say, God, make this thing clear to me. Lord, show me whether you are here and who I am. Lord, reveal this to me. That's why Peter, after the Holy Ghost came, Peter could say, this is that. What was he saying? He wasn't talking about the day of Pentecost. He's saying me. This is that. Hallelujah. Oh, that the prophet Joel talked about. What did he say? That the Spirit of God will outpour on the church. Hallelujah. And now, church, you have to realize who you are. He said that God may manifest himself. Catch it. There was a threefold purpose of his coming. One, that he will reveal himself, and one, that he may express himself.
Amen. Come on.
Express means to what? Manifest. Woo! God wants to manifest himself. God wants to show the whole world who he is. He's Christ in you. Brother Jack, I wonder why that don't excite the people. That don't bring you out your seat. Amen. I hope you ain't looking for a pillar of fire. Too bad. It already became flesh.
That's right.
You got to know who you are. I hope you ain't looking for a pillar of cloud. Too late. It already became flesh. I hope you ain't looking for Jehovah Rapha. It already became flesh. Remember, he said, truly Elijah will come and restore all things. All things. What does that mean? That means jobs. Who ain't got no job this morning? Who ain't got no job in this place? Hallelujah. If you don't believe God can give you a job by the end of this week, I want you to leave the church right now. Drive your stake down. If you really believe that you are a son of God, hallelujah, and that Elijah has come and all things are restored. If you don't believe that, get out of my presence right now. Church, hallelujah. I remember I was on a job before I became a full-time evangelist. And I was doing recycling. Amen. Hallelujah. I drive a recycling truck. You had to move newspaper. Beer bottles and wine bottles and cans and all this stuff. And you know what? I was a Christian. I got tired of touching beer bottles. I got angry. I want you to get angry with your situation. Because your anger will drive you in a new place of God. If you put it in the right channel with the right mental attitude. I ain't talking about going to slap the person of your problem. Then you got a devil on you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the Christian has a right to get angry and sin not. Hallelujah. Amen. That anger put in the right channel, it will move God on the scene. And I got tired of separating beer, separating cans and all this stuff. And then one day I threw a can to the truck and it bounced and beer fell all over me. You devil, I kicked the truck. I kicked the truck. But you know what, Brother Mike? I got angry. You know what that anger did, Brother Nelson? It made me fast and pray. Hallelujah. Brother Jack, it made me cry to God. It said, God, I know you got another position for me because I am your son. I know you got something better than this, God. I don't have to touch no beer cans. I don't have to touch no beer bottles. I am your son. That anger made God in me come on the scene. And I begin to pray and fast and pray and fast. You know what our hardest problem is? When we're going through something, we can't keep our mouth shut. We got to tell everybody, I'm going through this. My children, this. My husband, this. My wife, that. And the first thing you do is go tell the pastor. Look here. We are not in the Old Testament. The pastor can't take your sins and your wife's sins and take them to Jesus for you. That's an Old Testament sacrifice. Hallelujah. Where the sacrifice could not change the desire of the heart. Could not purge the conscience from doing wrong. Hallelujah. What we do, we still want to make our pastor the kind old priest. Whenever we got problems, first thing we do, instead of going to God, Brother Jack. So-and-so ain't shook my Brother Jack. What you've done, you've made your pastor an Old Testament priest. Hallelujah. But let me look. Listen. Now, I ain't saying that ain't the calling of a pastor, because the pastor is there. Hallelujah. But what does the pastor do? What I want you to catch, what the pastor do? The pastor gives you instructions on what God wants you to do. All he do is tell you what God would have told you if you would have cried out to him. But you know what? We like being connected to flesh. But remember, in Matthew 17, before Elijah was fully restored, Jesus was transfigured. Hallelujah. And the church said, let us make 3 tabernacles. But then a voice came and said, shut up. This ain't about no prophet. Shut up. Oh, y'all ready to throw stones at me now, ain't it? Hallelujah. See, the voice came down and said, let us make 3 tabernacles. One for Elijah, hallelujah. One for Moses, and one for you. Then the voice came down and said, shut up. This ain't about this. This is my beloved son. When everybody was all excited about the 7th angel, God came to the church through a prophet and said, shut up. Turn the picture. Turn the picture. It ain't about the angels. Turn the picture. It's about the mighty angel. Turn the picture. Amen. Take your problems to the mighty angel. He can change. Hallelujah. The worshiper worst purge. Hallelujah. When you take it to the mighty angel. Church, that's when Elijah has come already. That's why I'm preaching this, to let you know Elijah has come already. Now you got something to do. God wants to reveal himself in you. Hallelujah. They say, Brother Deeks, you don't quote much. Why? Because I am the quotes. I know that was a little too heavy for some of y'all. But Sammy, let me say it like this. When the message came, the message was preached in seed form. Why? To bring up a crop. Hallelujah. That could be identified with that message. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But not only, they could bring forth, hallelujah, what the farmer planted. Hallelujah. Notice, when it's in the ground, it's seed form, but when it comes up, it's fruit. It's deity. Hallelujah. It's the word made flesh. Once it was being planted in your church, planted in the church age, it was in seed form. That's why Brother Branham went from, hallelujah, preaching spoken word is the original seed, to the mighty God unveiled. That's where you are, church. You have to realize these things. Amen. God, hallelujah, Elijah has come already. And the mystery of God has been unveiled. Amen. We are that mystery. Amen. If you don't believe that, you're wasting your time. Hallelujah. If you're living a life below your standard, I want you to get angry this morning. You got a boyfriend that won't commit to you, I want you to get angry this morning. You got a girlfriend that won't live right, I want you to get angry this morning. Not to lay hands on her. Hallelujah. Because we're no longer in a day where you got to lay hands only. Hallelujah. But you can pray, hallelujah. You can speak it, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can speak it and it will unveil if God is in you. See, that was too deep for somebody. Hallelujah. But Elijah came to bring a full restoration. And in my closing, what does that mean? That means that the title deed is back in the owner's hands. Hallelujah. That means if you bought a car from me and you didn't pay it off, hallelujah, and you for some reason you felt like, I ain't giving Brother Diggs no money. I got the right to repossess my property. Because you ain't treating it right. Hallelujah. You know, some of us, if you ever been like this, I know me and my buddy Anthony been like this, that had a car and you ain't want to sell it. That car meant something to you. You know, you ain't want somebody to get it and just dog it out. You know, it meant something to you. You know, hallelujah. You know, you remember that Celica y'all had? That car meant something to somebody. Woo! Hallelujah. It meant something to somebody. Hallelujah. And church, that's what it was when we were in the devil's hands. Our lives meant something to God. So God said, I'm going to make a way to bring a full restoration where they can get back in my hands. God put us back in his hands. Hallelujah. Church, you are back in his hands. Brother Adam preached in the restoration of the bride tree. He said that, hallelujah, there is a law. Hallelujah. He said there's a law in a bird, hallelujah, that he can get on any tree, any mountain. Because of that law, he can just do a dead drop. And not worry about the altitude. Not worry about the storm that's coming. Not worry if the sun is shining. Not worrying if it's about to rain. That law will always work. Hallelujah. He can just drop. And then whatever you feel like, that's exactly right. Yeah, exactly right. Because of the law inside of him. Yeah. And you know what? Florida, y'all done had plenty of hurricanes. Hallelujah. Remember that year y'all had like 5 in a row? Did that change the law that was inside that bird? Still flying. Even after the hurricane. Even after the hurricane, you see a whole pack of them demonstrating that the law of God didn't change because of tribulation. The law of God didn't change because of problems. The law of God didn't change because things on the earth was affected. The law of God was still working. And God said, I'm going to show you that I changed not. What about your problem? He said, there's a law in a fish that he can go all the way down to the depths in the water. Hallelujah. He can be in something that will make the average person drown and still breathe. That law is in him to get way deep in nasty areas. Hallelujah. Church, there was a law in you where you could be down and out, rotten and raunchy, in the slums of the pits, in the slums in the world. But if the law of redemption is inside you, it'll bring you up. It'll bring you up. It'll bring you up. Because there's something in you that has to breathe again. There's something in you. Brother Branham called it the resurrection. The law of life. How many have been saved? That's the law of God in you. Even though, you know what? Some people don't like that. Some people don't like it because you were in sin and you in the world now. I mean, you came out of the world and you in church now. Some people don't like it. But you know what? Remember I said I'm a wild stallion. I was telling the young people yesterday, I said, I'm a stallion, but I'm a wild stallion. I ain't got no bit in my mouth. I ain't got no harness on my side. I ain't got nothing on my back where somebody can ride me. I ain't got no spears in my side to my giddy up boy, go. You can't make me go when you want me to go. You can't make me turn when you want me to turn. I'm a wild stallion. That means I'm free. And if you get too close, I'll buck on you. Hallelujah. I'll buck in church. I'll buck at work. I'll buck in the grocery store. I'll buck at the meetings. Hallelujah. Because I'm a wild stallion. I'm free. And whenever I see that rope, I run the other way. You ain't going to put no rope on me. Hallelujah. I'm free. But that's what's happening. Pastors and ministries around the world, they're taming people. They got a spiritual rope around their neck, giving them some apples and some sugar. Come on, eat out of my hand. And then once they get you in there, they throw you in a stall. Can't go fellowship with this church. Can't go fellowship with that church. Throw you in a stall. Hallelujah. You can't do nothing. Hallelujah. You once was wild, but now you're tamed. Amen. You got to the place to where you've been caged up so much to some of you new meetings was going on all this week and ain't came out maybe number one time. Where's your fire? Where's your fire to be in the presence of God? Some of y'all worried about the people. Look here. We had a man. My wife is a testimony to this. We had a man in our church who said he wasn't preaching the message no more. He came out of church to preach. He said he wasn't preaching the message no more. But how you gonna not preach the message to the message? What are we gonna pull for? And he started preaching and we started pulling, hallelujah. Even though knowing that he said he ain't gonna preach the message no more. He started preaching and we started pulling. And before you know it, he started quoting. And he was trying not to do it. He knew he was doing it. So he tried to, instead of saying Brother Branham said, he said somebody said. He couldn't because it was the pull of the people. When you realize, yeah, they said the slogan of this weekend was, are you living the message? But I ask you, are you the message? I'm closing right now. Come on, musicians. Go to Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 3. Church, that man was trying everything he can do not to preach that message, not to quote. But he couldn't help it. It was in him and we pulled it out of him. And he preached hard too. Give me what I need. I want you to get angry. Tell the Lord, Lord, get me to Ali. What I need. Get like Jacob. Say, Lord, I ain't going to leave till you bless me. I ain't going to leave till you bless me. Sister Brown, you think about how hard you prayed for Lottie. Think about how hard you prayed for him. But look at that man's ending state. Hallelujah. The people on the job saw the change. They saw the testimony. They saw his life get right. They saw him crying out on Jesus. Hallelujah. What was it? It was a restoration. Was the word made flesh? Tell me God can't save nobody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before the man died, he couldn't stop talking about Jesus. Couldn't see, ain't know where he was going, but he said, what I got to complain about? God done been good to me. I've been sitting in the man's house. The man tell me what I got to complain about. God done been too good to me. Brother Jack said, come on, Brother Deeks. I want you to come over and pray. Hallelujah. But before we even pray, you could see where the man's faith was. What a testimony. Not only to the church, but to his children. I don't care how hard they fight, Sister Brown. I don't care where they go, Sister Brown. They can't deny that God saved their father. Why? Because the sanctified wife is enough, hallelujah, to get the husband sanctified. If you don't believe that, get out right now. You got to leave right now. We got the evidence of it in the church. If you don't believe it, that go to door. don't believe God can heal from cancer, I'm a witness. Get out. Leave. Leave. I've had cancer in my brain. Hallelujah. But God healed me. If you don't believe God can heal your problem, I want you to leave. Because we're in supernatural days. Doctors told me, hallelujah, Jack saw it when my eyes was closed, hallelujah, and God was trying to get me angry. God was trying to get me angry with just having a burden to do more for him, but wasn't doing nothing about it. God said, I want you to go full time. I said, no, Lord, I got to make this money. No, Lord, these $600, this ain't good. I got to make this money. God said, I got better things. Hallelujah. It speaketh better things than Abel. Amen. Finally, hallelujah. God said, you ain't going to go. I close your eyes. You can't drive a truck then. All of y'all that saw it, say amen.
Amen.
Y'all, that's for y'all that don't believe. Hallelujah. Amen. I walk around. Jack saw me because we're buddies. He was so touched, he didn't want to let me go. He thought I was blind by the maze, doing me like this. Hallelujah. I came down to Smithdom House. Smithdom said, what's wrong, Diggs? What's wrong? We got to pray about that. Then they called Mama Lewis. Hallelujah. She started to pray. Then the church in Augustine started to pray. Hallelujah. Church in Okeechobee started to pray. Hallelujah. Church in West Palm started to pray. Church in South Carolina started to pray. No matter how things look, what are you doing about it?
Amen.
Amen. And then I didn't know. I didn't know that God was going to give me something to reflect back on, to show me what he was doing and how he was trying to get me to go full time in the ministry. But church, that night before I preached with Brother Smiley said, look, church, hallelujah, Brother D's got something going on with his eyes, but one thing he don't need is no sympathy. Some of y'all got problems in your life and you looking for some sympathy. You ain't going to get it. You may get it from a pastor, but you ain't going to get it from an evangelist. I'm going to tell you, stop being a crybaby. Rise up. Let me speak to you like a man, like a woman, like a daughter of God. Hallelujah. Say, Lord, I am tired of being defeated. I told you, I'm not a pastor. I got a big gun with no safety on it. And every time I see the devil, boom, 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 boom. I love to come to church with an ammunition on like Rambo. It's good when you just can unload. You just like... And y'all ought to know me well enough by now, I don't run out of ammunition. A real soldier got a clip in the small of his back. Hallelujah. Woo! You try to run up on a veteran if you want, thinking he ain't got no more guns. He'll pull something out of the sock. Bow! You'll be dead in a heartbeat. Hallelujah. But the pastor ain't like that. Amen. He got a safety on his clip. Amen. Jack, hallelujah, know the wrong you're doing. He see the things in your church. Oh, don't think he ain't got the gun on you now. He got the crossbow on you. He got that thing. He watching you. He watching. No, it ain't time yet. Put it up. Put it up. Put it up. You know why? Because somebody in the church mad. Somebody in the church watching it too. And they want Brother Jack to blast you. They sitting in the church saying, come on, pastor, come on. They pulling hard, too. Pulling hard. Get him, Brother Jack. Get him, Brother Jack. Deal with that sin. Deal with them high heel shoes. Especially the brothers. Hallelujah. Brothers are so carnal, they be wanting to go to a sister that ain't their wife and say, hey, you need to stop wearing them high heel shoes. You need to stop wearing them high heel shoes. You know what you're saying? You're saying you tempting me. I told your secret. And you want Brother Jack to blast it. He need to bless you, you devil. You want to get mad and say, the sister this and the sister that. Sister, you need to don't wear clothes like that. You the one got the lust demon on you. Hallelujah. You know why the brothers ain't jumping and shouting? Because they done been guilty. Then they try to back it up with a quote Brother Branham said. How many of y'all got a quote where Brother Branham went up to a sister and rebuked her for how she dressed? Hallelujah. He never did that in front of the whole church. He did it through the inspiration of the preaching of the gospel, where it went out, and if you were guilty, you knew it. Hallelujah. But what we do now, your blouse, you just, sister, you need to pull that up. And let me say it like this. He may be right. Hallelujah. It may be true. Hallelujah. But at the same time, both of y'all got spirits on you. Boy, y'all done turned the bloodhound loose right when I'm trying to close. I do the same thing in my family. Hallelujah. You know, some of the blouses where they have to wear tank tops up on them, I say, just don't wear that. Just don't wear it. I mean, if you cover it up the best you can. Do what you can do. Hallelujah. But I got my own jewels. I don't need to see nobody else's on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't need to see your wife's on, your cousin's on, nobody's on. Hallelujah. I don't need to come to church and you get to shout and I got to do this number right here. Because you ain't going to stop my shout now. You ain't going to stop my dance now. Church, this is real life. Hallelujah. But we so quick to say, Pastor, get him, Pastor, get him, get him. Amen. And you know, when you start preaching on love, everybody, hallelujah, amen, preach, preach, preach. Start talking about the church don't show no love. Hey, preach, preach. People in the denomination treat you better than people. Preach, preach, preach. I'm sorry. That's a lie from hell. You know, people in no denomination treat you better than message believers. Hallelujah. If that's your testimony, let me ask you, who you fellowshipping with? Must be ain't the bride. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Oh, I know it's getting late. Some of y'all want that chicken, so I got to close. But church, Elijah has come already. He's come. Gone. Amen. But notice, after the message goes forth, he comes at the end of the age. Hallelujah. It sounds, why? To unveil the mystery of God. The mystery of God made flesh. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I said, Corinthians 3. I'm closing with this. 2 Corinthians 3. Catch this now. I feel like this scripture right here, when we finish, it ought to blow the roof off the place. Hallelujah. And the only way that's going to happen is if you realize what you're reading. Because I know it. I'm already about to shout right now. Hallelujah. Better yet, I ain't going to wait. Woo! Let me go and get mine out. Hallelujah. Let me get mine out. I told you I was a wild stallion. I'm free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can't buy me to some kind of pulpit creed. Hallelujah. You want more out your young people? Get free. You want more out of your church? Get free. Get angry with being cold and starchy. Let's start at verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we ask some others epistles of condemnation to you, or letters of condemnation from you? Ye are our written, ye are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. What is that speaking about? It's speaking about a life. He said, for as much, hallelujah, as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ. What is an epistle? Something that is written. And they've been declared to be the epistle of Christ. Hallelujah. Let's keep reading. Ministering by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. How many with me? Amen. Amen. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. So in closing, I'll say this. The message of the hour is no longer in ink. Message of the hour, according to what was written. Hallelujah. 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 The ministry of Christ by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but fleshly tables of the heart of the bride. So you want to read the message, you're looking at it. You want to hear the message, you're listening to it. Hallelujah. Amen. Remember, church. He answered and he said unto them, because it is given to you, hallelujah, his disciples, because it is given unto you the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but not to them, but to them it is not given the mysteries. Here's the mystery, a mystery, a scripture, hallelujah, a previously hidden truth, now divinely revealed. Let me ask you a question. How many of you saved yourself? It was divinely revealed. How many of you, hallelujah, came into the message on your own? It was divinely revealed. Elijah has come already. Elijah has been revealed. But not only Elijah. Notice, church, one of the greatest mysteries was Christ being born in a manger. But that was already written about. He said, hallelujah, Moses said, there'll be one coming like an unto me. Hallelujah. A prophet with power. Hallelujah. He didn't talk about the spirit of Elijah through the Bible. So for those who were studying the scriptures, the scrolls, the volume of the book, they were looking for the Messiah. But you know what the mystery was? They weren't looking for those disciples. Those disciples were connected to Jesus. So when Jesus was being born, they were being born also. Woo! The mystery of God. And when Christ was being unveiled, there was a crop that was already on the earth, laying in the earth, that came up with him. Why did it start when Jesus was 30 years old? Because the church had to be mature enough to catch it when they heard it. and all these other doctrines had to go ahead and forerun the truth. Hallelujah. So Peter laid there, but they didn't follow Gamaliel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hallelujah. That's right. They were already on the earth. And the message came to reveal who they were. And just like Jesus, there were signs in heavens, hallelujah, revealing who he was, the same thing with the prophet for our day, hallelujah. And but this is what I want you to realize, church. There was scripture speaking about his coming, speaking about who he was. But Peter had to identify himself to the church. Peter had to come after the spirit fair, after the message was unveiled, and say, this is that. Hallelujah. They saw it moving. They saw it working. But Peter said, this is that. We ain't drunk. Hallelujah. Now, Brother Branham revealed, hallelujah, signs in the time, hallelujah, all these things unveiling, hallelujah. But the mystery was you and I laying in the earth, waiting to come forth in our day to make this message live. And you know what? We had scripture testifying of us. The whole world is groaning and awaiting the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. Then Peter comes and say, the mystery has been hid unto all the days, but unto you it's been revealed. Unto this church it's been revealed. Hallelujah. He told Daniel, seal it up. Yeah, that's right. He told Ezekiel, don't talk about it. Amen. He told John, don't write it. Yeah. But then he comes in our day and he said, pull the covers off of it. Pull it back. I want to show the whole world who they are. Pull it back. Show them that third pool. Show them that first and second pool. Show the mighty God unveiled. That's who we are, church. God, hidden and revealed in simplicity. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I'm closing. We'll put your musicians on the spot, Jack. Hallelujah. We're finna worship a little bit. Amen. A lot of people didn't know what was going on with us. But I want to tell y'all, he saw the best in me. When everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. He saw the best in me. Woo! When everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. You know, when I was out in the world doing my thing, you know what God said? God said to me, he saw the best in me. When everyone else around could only see the worst in me. God saw his word inside of our heart, church. He saw the best in me. Could only see the... Hey, we can sing it because the word's right there. What did God see in you? Why did he call you? Around me could only see the worst. One more time. God saw, he saw the best in me. When everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. Let's say he's mine. He's mine and I am his. It doesn't matter what I did. He
He only sees me for who I am. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's mine and I am his. It doesn't matter what I did. Woo! For who I am. He saw the best in me.
Come on, Brother Jack. You know, some people look at your mistakes. They're looking at your background. But this is what God saw.
He saw.
He saw the word of the hour. You know what he saw? He saw me happy. He saw joy in my heart. He saw me living a life of power. He saw the best. Hallelujah. That's what he saw. He saw my family saved, my wife saved, my children saved, my mother saved, my sister and brother saved. That's what God saw.
He saw the best in me.
Thank you, Jesus. When everyone else around could only see the worst in me.
I want you to repent right now to God. Let's keep singing. Let's keep singing. He saw.
He saw the best in me.
You may have done some wrong. You may have done some things you're not proud of. But God sees the best in you. If you can only take it to the Lord in prayer right now. If you can only say, Lord, let your best come out of me. I mean what I said. I want you to get angry with your situation. I want you to get angry with being defeated. I want you to get angry with fighting the same battle. And I want you to pray about it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because God sees good in you. God sees his word in you if you are his child.
Thank you, Jesus.
Right there in your seat.
Everyone else around,
I want you to say, Lord,
only see the
come forth. I want you to say, Lord, come forth. Lord, come forth.
The best in me.
Out of me. Say it like you mean it. Lord, come forth out of me in the name of Jesus Christ. As I turn it over to Jack, God saw.
He saw the best in me.
God bless you, church.
Jesus, glory. When everyone else around could only see the worst in me. He saw the best when everyone said, oh, could only see the worst. Come on, somebody. Oh, he's mine, I'm his. Say, he's mine, I'm his. It doesn't matter. He only sees me. Come on, sing it. Whoa, say he's mine and I'm his. Yeah. Yes, I am. It doesn't matter. Whoa, for he only sees me. Whoa, he saw the best. Say the best. The best. Come on. The best, oh, the best, the best, the best. What did he see? 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 He saw the best. He saw the best. Yeah, hey, he saw the best in me. Oh, when everyone else could only see the worst. Hallelujah. God saw the best in me. Say, he saw the best when everyone could only see the worst. Oh,
God saw the best. Hey, everybody say it again. What did he see? The best. Say the best, the best, the best. He saw the best. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Not my worst. He saw the best, yes he did, yes he did, the best, the best, the best, oh, what did he see, 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 he saw the best. He saw the best, yeah. He saw the best in me. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, when everyone else, oh, could only see the worst. Hallelujah, one more time. Say, he saw the best in me. When everyone else around, when everyone else, oh, could only see the worst in me. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, put those hands together. For he saw the best in me. Amen. When I was a rank sinner, he still saw the best in me. When we were the chiefest of sinners, God still saw the best in us. That's why he called us to this message of the hour, to see him in his fullness today. How many appreciate the Lord Jesus? You appreciate our precious brother Diggs. Oh, my, my, my. Elijah's already come. He's already come. I tell you, I Brother Diggs, like you say, he's not one of the preachers that set it all up. Hey, man, he's just going to just blast it out, whatever God give him. And I saw him walk into a lot of areas again today, and I thank God for that. I love it when God speaks. I just like to hear God speak, you know. And he right, you know, me and my wife were talking about that comment he made it yesterday at the service. And our pastor always got his target set on things. But sometimes he just don't come up and say it. As you get older, y'all be seated just for a little bit. As you get older in ministry, you understand certain things. First, when you first come out, you just go to tearing up everything. You don't care who it hurt or. You're just standing for the word. I'm standing for the word. But as you get older, you realize that you can't do that as a pastor. You know, people not in the same place. Now, if somebody been around for a good little while, you know better. So if I got a child a little older than some of the other kids, now the youngest might be able to get away with some things, but that older one not going to be able to get away with it. See, you already know better. We done went through this stage before. See? So I mean, sometimes you learn to be patient. You learn to understand. I mean, you come to realize that. But that's why God has what we call a fivefold ministry. The evangelist come in, he'll just rip it apart and leave us. Y'all just deal with whatever y'all got to deal with. I'm gone. God bless you. Drop the bomb and just be gone. You know, we be putting it all back together. You still coming to church? I know if you're a believer, you'll keep coming to church. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something else. God got us all raised in different areas of the world for a specific purpose. We all set up and made differently. God do that intentionally. Everybody not like you. And I like that. Because if all of us was just alike, then 99% of us would not be needed. Thank God for the differences. And thank God, and I like Brother Wesco used to say, now, even if you can't say amen and it's coming down your road, just say, ouch, ouch. Just pull your toes back and just say ouch. If you can't say amen, just say ouch. Amen. Just enjoy the Lord talking to you. I got a friend here. I got two friends, a bunch of friends. And I'm not going to let this service end without getting my friend to come up and say a few words to you. But you all know Brother Michael Dente. How many appreciate Brother Michael? Now, I'm not sure. Did you all go to Boynton this morning? You preach on worship? All right. Because when you start hitting
the difference between worship and praise. I saw Brother Mike just light up, you know. It was a confirmation to him. It was a confirmation to him, and you know. Now I'm gonna have them both come and greet us. Now Brother Michael's from Canada, as well as precious Brother Nelson. Amen. Is from Canada as well. He's a pastor there. Both of them pastors in Canada. And Brother Nelson, when I first started out in ministry, he told me, he said, God bless you, Pastor Jack. He said that, and I said, Brother, don't call me. Don't call me. I'm just brother. Trying to be humble. See, a real man of God know these things. And he say, one day you're going to want to be called pastor. That's all he said, you know. And the thing about it, it's not the title, it's the respect. And there was a day I come out to the church. I say, now am I Pastor Jack or Brother Jack? Y'all remember me saying that one time? I had to come out, and because see, a pastor get too friendly with the people lose respect for the pastor. And he wasn't saying don't call the pastor. That's not what he was saying. It's a balance that you got to find. See, the pastor is not your God. Brother Branham is not your God. That's all he was trying to tell you this morning. When we talk about the message, we understand, you know, we got seven church agents and the seven messengers and everything. We understand who our messenger was for our day, but he was not our God. So we're not bound down to worship him or any of that, you know. And when we quote Brother Branham said, it's the same thing like Sam Paul said. If I was living in the days of Moses or Joshua, I would say Moses said. See? But I live in the days of Brother Branham, so I say Brother Branham said. And I know what he preached. He started quoting different titles of messages that he heard from Brother Branham. If you knew the message, you knew he was preaching the message. Oh, my. But you got to listen to the message in order to know whether somebody preaching it to you or not. When they shut the churches down. Now, all the churches ain't going to shut down. I'm going to tell you that right now. But one day, this church probably going to get shut down. You know why? Because y'all go and y'all tell y'all people, man, my church, boy, they preach this, they preach that, they preach this, and you just be testifying. That's good. But some people out there don't like what we preach. No, they got y'all. No, that's a cult. And my church, no, my pastor, no, we just stand with the word. See? And one day, because we take our stand on the word of God, we and especially when y'all... Oh, Lord, one of y'all cousin aunties want to come preach. How come he won't never invite me to preach? Because the Bible said a woman shouldn't be doing that. Oh, Lord, y'all got me back. Y'all got me back on Wednesday night. Y'all got to come on Wednesdays because I say things like this on Wednesday. I don't say it on Sunday, but I'm going to say it today. That's a lesbian spirit. Spiritual. Anytime you see a woman going after a woman, that's a lesbian spirit. And if you see it in the church, it's the same spirit. So, amen. That's hard. I say those things on Wednesday nights. That's why you got to come in here. Y'all just be hearing part of it. I let it fly when I'm teaching, you know. Amen. But, you know, look, it's the truth in and how. And see, when you got ain't but a few of us churches standing like this. Well, no, God's word say that's wrong. No, we're not going to do that. No, that's wrong. That if it says wrong here, we're going to steal what God said. Let every man's word be a lie, but let God's word be true. And I ain't let nobody going to wrestle that away from me either. Well, if God could let a donkey talk, I'm going to tell y'all something. That's one of the biggest tricks the devil uses, reasoning. And if somebody can get you into a little corner somewhere and just begin to reason the scripture with you, don't reason. Just keep saying what it say. It say this. I read this. But not, don't reason with me. Just say what it say. See, when you get to that, they'll leave you alone. But I'm gonna tell you, there's a lot of folk that don't like that. No. You got they want you to run for your life when it come here. But we trying to give you life. We're trying to give you life. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's one of the reasons, I might as well just say it. It's one of the reasons that men struggle becoming men when they sit underneath women. A woman can never teach a man how to be a man. I'm just being, even in nature, a good woman that understands that. I mean, even if, you know, I got my sister-in-law back there and the Lord took her husband home, she makes sure she get her boy underneath good men. She realized there's certain things she just can't do, so I'm going to put him underneath these men. See? And that's what you got to understand. You got to, if you're having a problem, amen, with your husband, try to get him around good men. But if you got him underneath a woman, you're going to have a problem with him forever. Because a man ain't never made to be like that. God made him to be the leader. God made him to be the leader. And I'm going to tell you another thing that's going to happen. It messes up homes all the time. Because when women sit underneath another woman with that type of power authority, now they feel like they got to have the same thing in their house. And that's why pots and pans be flying. See? Because we out of order. But when we bring things back into order, and it starts in the church. Because what happened in church affects what happens at home. Oh, that's deep as well as simple. If we don't see these simple things, we'll never be able to get our houses in line. We'll go from 1 week to the next week, just more and more problems. Brother Diggs say, you know, you even got dressed, was ready to come to church, ready. And here you all prepared, and then all the devil just show up. You wonder where this thing came from. But we bind that spirit in the name of Jesus. Today we free from that. Amen. I'm looking for every brother to start leading his family to church. Come on, you men of God, you lead your family to church. And take them somewhere where they can get spiritually fed. Take them somewhere they know. You know, they're going to give you the Bible there. I know that much. I don't know everything they're saying, but I know they're saying the Bible. So until I get a revelation of all that, I'm just stay right here. Amen. Anybody just want to give God a hand clap of praise? I tell you, boy, this is all right. Brother Michael, just come and just greet the people for me. Amen. And after Brother Michael come and just greet, I'm going to have Brother, we call him the Bishop. Amen. This brother Nelson. Amen. A really, really precious friend of ours, and his first time being here with us. So I'm going to have him have a few words, and he'll say a closing prayer. Amen today. But I just want Brother Michael just to greet you a little bit. Good to have him back in West Palm Beach. Amen. God bless you, brother. God bless
you. What can I say after such an inspired sermon? You know, I kind of losing my voice, but it's very hard to see people preach by inspiration. Yeah. Mm. And we don't know that because we lose inspiration, we don't know who we are.
That's right.
Mm. You know, God talks to people by inspiration.
Amen.
You got to always be inspired by the right thing. And if you don't want to be inspired, something else will inspire you. You don't know.
Right.
That's why Elijah came to give us an inspiration.
Amen.
And it's God talking to you.
That's right.
I know we talked about weaponize your praise today.
Oh, my.
I can't leave the subject.
Yeah.
I got more juice to it.
Yeah.
And I came to find out that Jesus didn't only die for miracles.
Yeah.
Because the miracles in the Old Testament.
Come on.
The dead got raised.
That's right. Yes, sir.
But he really died so he could bring you to a place.
Uh-huh.
And Brother Abraham said, God's provided a place of worship.
Yeah.
And when you get to that place where you could worship God, then you could do it when you don't feel like it.
Yes, sir.
You could do it when all the outside evidence is against you.
Yeah. Yes.
But he really didn't die for miracles.
Uh-huh.
Because you could be healed and you know you could go back to the problem, whatever could happen. But he died so he could take you.
Uh-huh.
You will know what you see, but you are inside.
Uh-huh.
When that inside could get to that place, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the Holy of Holies, when you put anything you put in, they're going to be alive.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Right. Glory.
You see, so when that veil was torn up,
uh-huh,
we got to get in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
And we read a scripture where God said he formed us to praise him.
Oh, my. Come on.
Israel, Isaiah 43. You know, he said he formed us to praise him.
Praise the Lord.
So when God is looking at his people, he's looking for his praise. So I say that's what God is looking at. So if you could praise him in that place, then whatever you desire, you're going to get it. So then I was going and said, many times you want to praise God when something is good, you know. David was praising God, everything was good and nice. And God said, I want to raise the praise at octave. Said, I'm going to bring in a Bathsheba to see if he can really praise me. But when Bathsheba came now, David, he know God, so he hold on his weapon. That was a weapon of praise. So he could tell God, if I go down the dust, will the dust praise him? So wait a minute. I love to inhabit God inhabiting the praise of his people. Amen. And that inhabit, if you retranslate, means indwell, enthroned. So if God is enthroned in your heart, then it's a different way you look at it. How will God get praise with what I'm going through? How can God really be praised in my situation? I have a need. How could God, if we look at it in that terms, and then the inspiration could work. Because Brother Abraham said, oh, God is just waiting for the right inspiration to hit your heart. Job knew the channel where to receive inspiration. And when Job got his channel of inspiration, he said, the Lord give it, the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we got to weaponize our praise again. You know? We got to keep that praise weapon. And it's really like when you come to church and you keep quiet, that ain't it. You know? We've gone beyond what you could figure out, what you could think. Just open your mouth and worship God. Amen. And when you worship God, he got something to do for you.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
I really thank the Lord that no matter what, God will find a people who are going to worship him.
Amen.
But sometimes if I look at some of the things that we go through as ministers, sometimes you feel like it's hopeless. Because it's not, you're called to serve. You're not called to make money. You're not called to build a future or be a prophet. You're called to serve. But if you don't know who you're serving, then it's really sorry, right? You depend on the outer senses. And so, brothers, I want to encourage you. God is taking us to that place to praise him. In the Bible, he said he formed you to praise him. And we went to Genesis 2 where he formed man in his own image. And the image means nature. So he put something in your spirit that could praise him. And that's the grace of God. Because you can't praise him, you know, humanly beyond what you feel, taste, smell, hear. He put something in you that you could reach out.
Yes.
We have to dwell in that place. And when we are conscious of that place, whatever we desire will happen. Because David was conscious that God needs praise. And when he was praising God, everything changed for him. So out of your Bathsheba is coming to Solomon.
Yeah, that's it.
Amen. Did somebody
hear me? Out of your Bathsheba is coming
to
Solomon.
Out of your Bathsheba is coming to Solomon.
Right.
Because he's going to inhabit that praise. Because he got to be enthroned in that.
That's all right. Glory.
I say, many times, this is where the fire falls. I said, the people paying attention to the enemy. And they're watching the enemy for good. I say, don't pay attention to the enemy. God control the enemy. So when they realize that they're fucking the enemy, we had a fire fall. Is that Abraham Nelson? Because we focus on the enemy. The enemy did, so we got to be overprotective. But see, the same God that control you is the same God that control the enemy.
Amen.
The enemy is not beyond his boundaries. God got a boundary for evil for you. Evil can only come this far. It can't cross over. So let's rejoice. You have a pastor who knows worship. So when you worship God here, the devil will be scared of this place. He said, don't come around this place because they really worship God. I can't get them to feel this way or think this way or that way. They're going to rejoice regardless. So may God richly bless you. And let's weaponize our praise. Use that praise weapon. When you use it, every devil will bow. Say, devil, I don't mind what you do, but if you hang around me, you're going to praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, leave him alone. He just said, thank you, Jesus. Paul said, I worship going away called heresy. If you're not fanatic about it, the devil hurts your feelings. But if you get fanatic about it, I tell you, he will leave your feelings. Is that right? So may God richly bless you all. I appreciate you, my brother.
God bless you. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. You appreciate Brother Michael Denty. Now, real quick, he got here and Brother Nelson got here, and they had to do something very important to get here. They had to get passports. Now, in order for us to get to where Brother Michael at, we got to get passports. Because we've been invited by Brother Michael to come to his church in Canada. Amen. Now, if y'all want to go to Canada, y'all got to get passports. Amen. Y'all need to get busy. Look, this one done in no corner. Thank God for a prophet that went 7 times around the world. So many people have been impacted by this message. And, you know, a lot of people right here in this town probably have no idea what this means. You know, they have no clue what we're talking about. And, you know, that's just the way it is sometimes. But, you know, there's places all over the world you can go. And I'm going to tell you, this is probably the only... I don't think there's no other denomination, and we're not a denomination, but there all the other denominations out there, there's nobody like this where you can go anywhere in the world and say, you know Brother Branham? Yeah, right there, you just got a connection. And right there, oh yeah, come on into the house, we'll fellowship with you, we'll do it right, you make a connection just like that. Brother Diggs done went to many states. All he can pick up the phone, every line he crossed. If there's a believer there, make a connection just like that. See, this message is real. It's united the bride all over the world. It might just be a few of us here, but it's people all over the world that believe what we believe. And sometimes getting in fellowship with other folk, you realize you're not the only strange bird. Eagles fly alone anyway, so praise the Lord. Brother Nelson, would you please come and greet us and have the closing word of prayer? Amen on today. Praise the Lord. God bless you, my brother.
I was just going to the washroom, and I said, I don't believe that I got a daughter 44 years old. I don't know why it came to me like that. Amen. I never thought about it like that, but, you know, I'm one of those old preachers. I remember Brother Jackie, Brother Westcott Church, and I says, Brother Westcott got this little boy leading song service. He must have got a lot of faith in him. Amen. My God. And now he remember what I said. You know, there's another brother from Ohio. He told me, he said, you know, you spoke to me a prophecy. And in the meetings here, he said, I should have listened to what you told me. Then I saw a young lady, and she said, hi, Brother Nelson. I said, by the way, I know you. She said, you preached to us in London last year. At Brother Peter Chandler Church, he had a young people's meeting, and he invited an old preacher to come and preach to young people. But you know what? The Holy Ghost came down.
Amen.
I have faith in those young preachers that get old and go through all the tests and trials. Not the young ones just come up. They're okay.
Yeah.
But you got to go through your tests and trials.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. And I started at 16 years old. I passed a church when I was 19, and that's a church of God, a prophecy. Amen. So I've been around a long while. I respect these brothers, Brother Dig. He calls me Bishop, but Bishop just means pastor. That's
it.
All.
That's it. That's our name.
He don't call me by my name. He just called me Bishop.
Yeah.
When he comes by my home, I said, Brother Diggs, you just go in the kitchen. He go in there and put his 2 sandwiches together, and he sit down there at the table and say, help yourself.
Yeah.
He just feel at home. You know, I don't punish him and say, well, you have to have this. I said, just go in the kitchen and help yourself.
Glory. Yes.
Amen. Maybe when Brother Jackie come around, maybe it might be the same thing too.
Yeah.
But I love these brothers. Even though I'm older than them, yet I don't feel any different because the Holy Ghost is not old. The Holy Ghost is not old. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't give the little one a little Holy Ghost, and the big one is the same Holy Ghost everybody get. Yes. I'm a little bit tired in my body, but amen. That's why I can't function. I'm not young anymore. Amen. And I have to go and wash my face because I got up early just to go and hardly step, went with Brother Michael, and amen, and try to back him there because I didn't come here to preach. I come to relax because next week I'll be in a place called Ottawa to minister to the people. And then I want you all to remember this on the 12th, between the 12th and 14th of August, I want you to pray for me. I'll be in Mexico City, a place called Nogales, and I want you to write that down and pray for me. And the reason why I say that, Brother Michael, I don't know if he gave me a quote with Brother Branham, there's a brother named Brother Tyler, Pat Tyler, and he called another one. What's the other one's name? You can't remember his name now. But it's Pat Tyler, another one, huh? Brother Gene. And the people said, Brother Branham, how do you go like that? And he said, he don't want me to say it, but you see that brother there? Right. He's a converted gangster. He said, and they lay on their face. Exactly. You know the quote. Amen. Yeah. They lay on their face and they pray. He said, that's why I get the results, what I get. Amen. And that gave me faith. Amen. So if you can pray for me between the 12th and the 14th of August. They told me I was in Mexico in Easter, and they sent a letter in Spanish. I can't read Spanish, but they sent a letter. You are the only minister we invite into our convention. Amen. I preach a little different to Brother Mike and amen. Brother Diggs says that's a young Brother Nelson. Amen. I don't look at your faces. Amen. I don't care. When I finish, you get upset with me. John the Baptist's head get cut off. You know, young people, I'm not preaching because Brother Diggs, you know, Brother Diggs, you know you talk about the mystery. You know that's why I'm preaching right now. Honestly, I took some notes from you. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what I'm preaching now. I'm in a series of mystery, showing all the mysteries. Amen. Hallelujah. And I just put some notes there. So when I go, I'm going to tell them I heard this from Brother Dick, so they won't believe it's me, right? Yeah. Like one preacher said, he'd been swimming in my pond. Amen. The thing is the inspiration is God's inspiration. But I want to tell you, young people, I've been watching at that banquet. Now, you might get upset with me. I hear so much a noise from the young people. So much a noise. They were shouting and yelling. A little name. Everybody carrying on. And when they come to church, they're so quiet and can't even say amen. What's wrong with you? I'm watching it. The young people just sit and go watching too. Yeah. But there, everybody keeping noise. Uh-huh. Number nine.
That's right. Come on, that's right.
Amen. Glory. All right. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I just come from that church here and I saw the interpreter with a thing in his face. I said, by the way, why you have that there? Uh-huh. I said, all them young fellas with it. He said, I'm going to take mine off. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, young people. Not only at banquet, you must be happy and shouting and praising God. You ought to do it in church. Now, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a preacher. Hallelujah. I'm not a preacher. Amen. Another thing I noticed, they all dressed up for that banquet. Next day, I look in church, whose shirt is out the pants and who don't have on a tie? Come on. You come in the house of God, you short out your pants. No tie, nothing, but the banquet, everybody with a nice suit and everything. Amen. Brother Jackie, I wrote Brother Billy Paul. I said, Brother Billy Paul, how did Brother Branham go in the house of God? He said, I've never seen my father in the house of God without a suit or a tie. Oh, I always ask questions. Never. And I always believe. That's why I like these brothers, just that I can't dress like them. Amen. Hallelujah. But man, I tell you, they can dress, man. I was looking, I said, my, I wonder if they can take me to where they buy their suits. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, I asked Brother Lee Vail also. I went in his home, and I sat at his table 2 years ago. And I said, Brother Billy, I said, Brother Lee Vail, how did Brother Branham, I like to ask questions, how did he go to church? He said, Brother Branham says, when you come to church, you must come like you come to meet a king. Amen. That's what Brother Lee Vail told me. You must come like you come to meet a king. He said, Brother Branham said that. In the book Generation, right? I can't remember the page right now, but Brother Branham went with a brother to do hunting. And Brother Branham told the brother, it wasn't a believer's a message church. He said, Brother, I can't remember his name. He said, you go to church. He said, the only reason I would not go with you is because I didn't walk with my suit and my tie. In the book Generation, if you want a page, I can get it for you. But I can't remember the page, if it's 123, something like that. In depth, anybody have Generation? That's how the prophet respected. You watch those pictures. You see any time he's in the pulpit with his shirt out, his pants, and all these stuff? The church now has become like a play place. People are not serious. They're only serious when they're going to a wedding and all these things. Brother and sister, you're coming to meet Christ every service. Hallelujah. Every service. So don't get upset with these brothers when you see them dressing. They come to meet a king. Hallelujah. They come to meet a king. Do you know in the Bible, I think it's Deuteronomy, God said, dress the priest for glory. And I didn't realize he said beauty. Go and check it. You ever read it? Yeah, but he said, dress them for glory and beauty. I said, wait, God loves beauty. So young people, don't wait for banquet to shout and keep on noise. Do it here in the house of God. Don't stare the preacher. Amen. Yeah. If you play the music, be in the spirit also. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. In our church, if I know you don't pay tithe, they put you to sit down. Come on, preacher. You're a course. Yeah. And you're a course with a course. How can you play music in your course? I'm not a preacher, Brother Diggs already preaching about the mystery and everything. Just ask me to greet you. Appreciate Brother Michael too. You know, we just started to become friends. You know, we were on the plane and he's saying there's three kind of friends. And then I only preach that Wednesday night about friends. Amen. You got three kind of friends, like Brother Jackie and Brother Diggs. They are friends. There's a different kind of friend with them. Now, Jesus told Judas, he says, friend. But that was not the friend like Jackie and.
Amen.
And
that's all right.
Amen. It wasn't that kind of friend, because the Bible said the disciple whom Jesus loved. So he said friend there as to show that he don't have an enemy.
Uh-huh.
Because you're not supposed to have no enemy.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My, I'm feeling strength now.
My Lord.
So he said friend. Hallelujah. So brother and sister, some of you got friends. And you know what Jesus told his disciples? I call you no more brethren, but I call you friends. So you got all kind of different friends in category. Brother Michael, he got it. I wrote it down on the paper. Because when I go back now, I'm going to tell the church, listen, I've been talking to you about a friend, but here it is. I got from Brother Michael Denty.
Amen.
Amen. He gave me the categorization of friends.
Amen.
Amen. What's the tree game, Brother Michael? Give me it now. All right, Brother Michael, you just put me on the spot and leave me like that. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So confident friend. Hallelujah. And that's what Jesus make you, a confident friend. Hallelujah. Glory. Now there's certain things, the two certain communication they have among themselves, they don't tell nobody else. They won't even tell me.
Right, right,
That's good. Amen. Glory. My, because they are very good friends. Amen. Hallelujah. But you're not supposed to have no enemies. Right. Amen. Because Jesus said you got to love your enemies. Amen. So young people, I want to encourage you. Amen. Don't get into this car because as the brother preached on praises, that's why I looked at him and I laughed and because he was just preaching on praise and here. Amen, Brother Diggs. I call him the international evangelist. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's what I call him, the international evangelist. He goes all over, man. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the brother was talking about rain there last night, right? And I thought, I said, Brother Diggs must be saying, well, Brother Nelson got testimony of rain falling in Zimbabwe too. Did you think about it when he was talking? Amen. I was in Zimbabwe and rain came. Amen. Amen. And so I said, Brother Diggs must he saying, well, yeah, we got another testimony. Brother Nelson got a testimony about rain coming in Zimbabwe too. Yes, sir. Amen. So I'm not here to tell you that. Amen. But I want to encourage you. Amen. Young people. I love young people. I love young people. You know, I'm an old man, but I still love young people. Amen. Because those are the ones they want in the army. If I go in the army now, they're going to make me peel potatoes. Amen. Or wash clean boots or something. Or, amen. They want me now. They want me when I'm young. That's why the Bible says, oh, hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. So remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. So young people, don't wait until you're outside to praise God. When you come to service, even the musicians, you see, I play guitar. When I play, I just dance with it.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
I dance with my guitar. Amen. Hallelujah. So young people, when you're playing that music, just don't sit there with your face all serious. Smile or something. Hallelujah. Enjoy your playing. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. You are here to put the people in the spirit. Man, I watch your faces like... Hallelujah, hallelujah. You got to get the people in the spirit. So when you sit down there, and you don't get them and you get them in your spirit. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. My. And when you stop playing, you should worship when you go there. As I tell you, I don't look at faces, you know. I got lots of enemies. Some preachers don't put me in the pulpit, but I don't care. I don't care if they don't put me on. Amen. I do what God tells me to do. Amen. I appreciate Brother Jackie very much from my heart. I tell you the honest truth. Amen. I appreciate him and very much and his stand for the Lord. Amen. His precious wife. You know, I go all the way back, all the way back. Amen. Sister Lois. Amen. A lot of familiar faces I see around here. Sister Brown and the girls. You know, I used to be in Georgia there every other week, ministering the word of God for them. I used to travel from Canada every 2 weeks. I used to go to Georgia to minister the word of God, and they were very faithful. Amen. Amen. So I really appreciate seeing everyone. Some of the faces I don't know. Amen. But those that I know, the Lord bless you all real good. You used to play, right? What happened now? I think I saw you playing in Fort Wayne. Yeah, well, I look at you and say, what is he doing now? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. I appreciate Brother Diggs, too. He's like my little son, you know. Amen. I want to ask him his age now to see if he's in line with my daughter. I want to ask. I'll ask him outside. Amen. Hallelujah. How old he is. Because if I look at him, he looked like 52 to me. That's the way I get age from people, you know. I go to those young girls, I said, man, you look like 40. She said, no, I'm not 40. I'm 25. I said, thank you very much. Hallelujah. God bless you real good, Brother David.
God bless you, Brother Nelson.
Praise the Lord. I told you, God make us all different. We come up in this world, in different parts of the world, for a purpose. Amen. I remember going to church. We was up in North Carolina, and the pastor told a young sister, say, "You holding that boy up?" Right from the pulpit, "You holding that boy up? That boy want to serve God, but you messing up his life in front of everybody." Now, see, if some of y'all would have been there, that would have been the last time y'all went to that church. But God make us all different like that. Amen. I'm from Florida. That's just me, you know, and I'm different from Brother Diggs, different from Brother Michael, different from Brother Nelson. God make us all different. It's okay to be different. See, but what we got to do is respect the differences. Amen. That's what it's all about. Like, see, when Brother Diggs talk about being a wild stallion, everybody be, I'm really the same way. And when you try to harness me, oh, no, we're going to buck, we're going to kick, we're going to do something, you know. Don't do me like that. Let me just serve God the way that I serve God. Amen. That's just me. I know friend of God not in the hymn book. They just preach about being friends, right? Amen. Jesus not my associate. He not my acquaintance. But he my confidant. Come on and say a prayer.
Shall we all stand? Amen. Isn't God good? Amen. Brother Barron said that Christians should be happy. Amen. People come into place with a serious face like you run into a parked car. From the time you enter the door, you should be coming in. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're coming like this. Somebody push you and you're coming. Hallelujah. The usher tell you, the deacon says, sit down there, that's your enemy. That worse, your whole service is ruined. And I want to sit down there to see how we are good friends. Hallelujah. God bless you. Shall we all bow our head? Close our eyes. Heavenly Father, we know one day we will not meet like this again. Your prophet says the greatest privilege that a human being have is to speak to you. And that's what we are doing this moment. We thank thee for these brothers, Lord, Brother Michael, and all the ministers, Brother Diggs and Brother Jackie, Lord God, and the people. We thank you, Father, Lord, and, you know, I told the people and my wife, too, I'm ready to go home, and they tell me, don't talk like that. You heard, Father, when they tell me that, but I don't see what else to live on this earth for. Lord, even if I get a bigger house, it don't mean any difference. Lord God, just to go home. Father, the preacher says, all I want to hear is but a rapture. Lord God, many of the young people, they're looking forward for these things, which is good. Get this, education, which is good. But they should look forward for the rapture. Lord, we're coming to the end. Lord God, and I thank thee for these young brothers, Lord, that Father, that standing and holding the fort. You're never without a witness, Lord. I like what your servant just said, that when Jesus came on the earth, the same time the disciples have never seen that, Lord. Same time the disciples, they came to on the earth. Lord, in different places, but one day you made a connection, Father. Oh, God, we thank thee for everyone here. Those, Lord, that believe in thee for healing, providence, as the preacher said, Lord God, Father, that they can leave this place if they don't have a job. We see it happening in Toronto, Lord. We see miracles taking place, Father. Oh, God, Lord, and I believe that you are not only in Toronto and Zimbabwe, but you're also in Florida, Lord. Oh, God, raise these people up to believe your word, Father. So we thank you for the sermon today. And Lord, even Brother Michael, he tried to get the people in the atmosphere of worship. That's all you want from them, Father. You don't want their money. All you want your praises from the people. Lord God, and so bless them as they go, Father, in their fellowship and everything. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
You can be seated. Brothers will come at this time to dismiss you. Play us something softly there. Amen. And I'm just going to ask that Brother Michael and Brother Nelson, if you all stand at the door just to greet the people on the way out. Brother Diggs as well. Sister Diggs, we can get you to stand next to Brother Diggs on the way out just to greet the saints as they come out. Amen. God bless you all. Tonight, Brother Wesco has the final service. I believe it's at 7:30. Amen. Is that right? 7:30. Somebody tell me on the board. Do we have a time on the board? I believe the service is 7:30 is the service. Okay. All right. Amen. God bless you.